Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Joanne Loy, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you for having me here.
It's great to have you here. Joanne Loy is a registered architect in New York City with 10 years of experience and a senior content strategist at Monograph. Monograph are friends of ours, so you've heard them here before. She works with Monograph. It's a practice operations platform for AEC professionals. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out, monograph.io. Joanne also founded the Women Architects Collective, a community of 3,000 plus women building careers they love. And she also helps women architects be heard, be seen, and be known in their work journey through the power of community and personal branding. So Joanne, we shared a little bit about you. I want to talk a little bit about, I want to learn more about the Women Architects Collective. I also want to talk a little bit about personal branding. That's what I love, personal branding. So I love that topic. And I don't think I actually ever spoke specifically about personal branding before on the show. So this would be an interesting conversation. Before we get there, though, I want to learn more about you. Where did you discover architecture? Who or what inspired you to become an architect?
Yeah, so I was originally from Hong Kong, and I was born and raised there. And I was always living in very tiny spaces. As you know, Hong Kong is a very small city with a lot of people, and like my family of four would live in like a 500 square foot apartment, and it was crazy. And but I really loved the constraint of a small space and kind of getting creative in how you use small spaces. And that kind of was how my childhood was. I was always really fascinated with the city, with small spaces in general. And so when I finally came to America when I was 16 to go to college, I had to decide on what to do with a major. And I was like, I have no idea. Like, it was my first year in America. I don't really know where I was going to go. And I mean, nowadays in high school here, you have those like career programs, right? You have architecture programs, high school students. Like, I did an ACE mentorship. And I went there to teach them about AutoCAD, and they already know AutoCAD. It was like all the high school students already know everything I knew. But back then when I was in Hong Kong, when I went to high school, we didn't have any of those things. So I didn't really have an opportunity to really think where my, like, what would my profession be. when I grow up, and I only know that I was always really fascinated by the city, and I always really love art and creative side of things and designing things. But I was also at the same time very good with like science. So I was either gonna be an illustrator or a doctor. And that was like two very extreme cases. And then one day my dad was finally like, why don't you look into architecture? Maybe that's something like a good combination for you, because it's, you know, logical, but it's still creative. And so I didn't really know what architecture was. It was my first time hearing that word, like the big architecture word. And I went to research and I went to a college fair. I basically asked everyone at the booth, do they have an architecture program? And some, I'm still in New Jersey. And I, at that time, they were like, oh, look at this NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology. They have a great architecture program in the state. So I applied and got in and did my architecture degree. That's kind of how I randomly stumbled upon architecture. I wish I had those stories where it was like, oh, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be an architect, but not the case for me.
Yeah.
But I went to school.
Everybody's story is interesting, though. I mean, your story of growing up in Hong Kong and the tiny little apartment, and the tall buildings in the small city. You know, that's really interesting that's your background and that's sort of where you started, and the idea of space and not really understanding that there was a profession for architecture, but having it inside you all that time. And then when you finally discovered it, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think I see architecture more as spaces rather than like an object of a building.
Yeah.
I think that's probably just based on where I was from.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you do after NJIT?
So yeah, I graduated in 2011. That was kind of the aftermath of the last recession.
Right.
So it was really hard to find a job. It took me like 4 or 5 months of constantly applying and everyone telling me they're not hiring. But I finally landed in a small firm in Jersey City, in New Jersey. And they do very like local residential work, but also some apartment buildings. So like single family all the way to apartment building, any kind of residential work. And I was there for about a year and a half, I would say. And I realized because it was a small firm, it was only 5 people in the office. And I was the youngest person there, and I didn't have any friends really, because I was like the only young person. But at the same time, I see the architecture industry was going into Revit and technology, and the small firm that I was at wouldn't support that because they don't have the resources. So eventually I knew I had to go to a different firm for me to catch up to like the technology and not fall behind. So I went into a firm in Princeton in New Jersey. It was a medium-sized firm. They do mostly education work. I was there to kind of help start their residential practice side. I did their first residential project. And after about 2 years, I started looking for a job in the city because I wanted to move to New York City. And I find a job at Gensler, and I joined Gensler. It's been 6 years since I've been there. I actually kind of switched because I guess Gensler is doing more commercial work. So I did more of a commercial, a lot of office repositioning work and workplace and interiors and public spaces, that kind of work. So I have been there for 6 years. And then after that, about 2 months ago, I kind of made a career transition into the tech world and joined Monograph as their content strategist.
So you're no longer with Gensler. You're working with Monograph full time.
Yes.
So what's your role at Monograph? What do you do there?
Right now, I am the content strategist. So I manage their blog, their content, their website. That's kind of build their brand and thought leadership through content.
So you're working with George on some of the videos he's doing, the blog, managing the blog. So everything that we're seeing coming out of Monograph is coming through you now.
Some of them is through other people, but we, you know, all work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I've noticed the difference in the last few months. I've seen the additional content coming out of Monograph. I've seen the quality improve, and because I've known Robert for a long, long time, I've watched Monograph grow, and so it's really exciting to see Monograph grow and to see the content that's coming out of Monograph is really exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely very fun to be like at the start of something and building it up, and at the same time, like changing or kind of crafting what we think the brand is as Monograph and that voice through content. I think we're kind of still working through it, but getting there.
yeah, very much so. Yeah. So two things that you're passionate about is the Women's Architect Collective, and you do personal brand coaching. And so let's talk a little bit about both of them. Women's Architect Collective, what is it and what do you do with it?
So the Women Architects Collective is a Facebook group. I started it in 2018 as just an online platform for women architects to discuss anything they don't feel comfortable discussing at work. I really started it, like I would talk about Women Architects Collective and personal branding together because it's kind of part of my journey.
Yeah.
When I first started work about 3-4 years into my career, I had an incident where I was forgotten for a race, and I at that time was the only female at my level, and everyone else got a raise and not me. And so I went to my boss and I was like, I should get a raise. Everyone else got a raise. Why didn't I get one? And the reason, I don't know if it's really the reason, but what she said to me was that a lot of times women are forgotten in these kind of discussion in architecture. And it was the first time I ever encountered something like that. But it kind of put a seed in me where I wanted to do something about it and do something for women in architecture in general. And after that, I started building my personal brand because I just thought, like, I don't ever want to be forgotten again in my career. And what if I can build myself to a point where I don't even have to ask for a raise and I just get a raise automatically. So I did that. I went on my personal branding journey. I started blogging. I started my own website. And then that was also through me getting my licensure. And then after I got my license at 2018, I had more time. So I started the Women Architects Collective, and I just wanted a place where they can ask questions, they can give advice to other people, but more importantly, they can meet other women in architecture, because a lot of time I get these feedback where people, especially if they're in a smaller firm. In a bigger firm, you don't really have that problem because there's so many people. But if you're in a smaller firm in a small town, they would tell me that they can't find a female mentor because they don't have that in their leadership. They don't have that in their local network. But they could find it in the Women Architects Collective because they get to meet so many people globally around the world. And that was something that was really important for me, is for people to find mentorship. And even if you couldn't find a mentor, just ask questions and get answers for questions that you don't know who to ask. So that group has grown to be now 3,200, I think, members in the group, and it's been going very active, growing really strong. And I love the people in the group. And last year, when the pandemic hit, I was trying to think to myself, like, what can I help them? Like, what skills could I actually use to help them while we are in this pandemic and recession and everything is online? And I thought, oh, I know how to do personal branding because I did it for myself. And why don't I just teach that to the members inside the Women Architects Collective? So I started the coaching program and just basically helping them put themselves out there, build their online presence, build their personal brand, both online and also like at work, to just help them while you have a little bit more time in the pandemic to use that time to really show up online. And that's kind of how I started both of these things.
It's a very interesting that they're connected like that. And Facebook groups, when they're curated like that, when they're private and there's an intentional format for it and a purpose for it, and you maintain that culture, they become very, very powerful. You know, the Entree Architects mm-hmm. group is super powerful. So I can definitely see how a group that's dedicated to women architects to have a place where they can go and they can share openly and honestly about their experiences and ask for help and not worry about any other outside influence, whether it's other genders or whether it's clients or bosses. It's a place where they can go and have a safe place to have that conversation. And then the idea that you have this personal branding background to be able to share that with the community is really powerful. Let's take a break to thank our sponsors for their support of this episode. As architecture demand increases toward pre-pandemic levels and beyond, how are you and your architecture firm keeping up? RCAT is here to help. RCAT.com offers several free tools to help architecture and design firms like yours get work done faster. Use RCAT's powerful search engine to find the right products for your projects, and download BIM, CAD, and specifications right there on the same page without needing to pay or register. It's free. RCAT.com also offers product videos, catalogs, green reports, product certification information, outline and short form specification generation, and so much more. Visit RCAT.com today. RCAT.com is your one-stop solution to help increase your productivity and get more projects done faster. That's RCAT.com, ARCAT.com. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team by project, and get organized with financial reports, communication, and notifications. My favorite feature in FreshBooks is the automated invoice reminders. I think sending invoices and getting paid is one of the biggest barriers to our success as entrepreneur architects. Who has the time? But if we don't send out the invoices, we don't get paid, right? FreshBooks makes it easy to send out your invoices and get paid fast, online, with a click of a button. And when your client doesn't pay you on time, FreshBooks will send them a friendly email reminder through a simple system that you control. Sign up for a free 30-day unrestricted trial and get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, get paid faster. Go to entrearchitect.com/freshbooks and enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's entrearchitect.com/freshbooks. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. What I'd like to do is, can you go back with the personal branding part and just explain what that means for anybody who doesn't know what personal branding is? Can you explain what that is?
Sure. So I like to say that your personal brand is basically what people are saying about you in your back or behind your back, and that you don't know what they're talking about. And the process of personal branding is helping you to match up their perception of you to your own perception of yourself and what you want them to see. And that's through nowadays an online presence, like a website or your social media, creating content online, but also at the same time about what you are doing at work if you are trying to build your career. I mean, usually people do personal branding for, I would say, three things. Either they want to find a job through platforms like LinkedIn, or they want to build up their career, get promotions, climb the ladder, or they want to start their own architecture firm and build a business with their own personal brand. And I think that's kind of how personal branding can help you, is by building this online presence or your own brand, and also in person as a person, to help you either grow in these three areas.
So very much like business branding, where you are trying to tell a story about what you do and have that resonate with the ideal client, the people that you want to attract to your business. Personal branding is the same thing, but for yourself, to be able to create that story and craft that story of who you are, and to be able to attract either clients or employers or colleagues to the people that you want to attract. And so it starts with a website, right? So you said that to have like a home base, what should that website include? What would be in the website, on the website?
Yeah, so I would say it depends on what you're trying to do. You don't necessarily need a website to start with. What I usually suggest is just go through your social media, because I'm sure you're on a lot of social media, to just kind of comb through what you're putting out there that people can see. Most importantly, if you're an architect and trying to find a job or trying to build your career as a professional, go through your LinkedIn profile, optimize your LinkedIn profile. And that can really, really help you professionally, because the whole network of LinkedIn is professional. The second thing I recommend is just, if you want to build up your Instagram as your social media platform, just because it's more visual, so it matches up with what architects do. And a lot of time nowadays is people use Instagram as their portfolio and they post their project work on there. And people actually, I was on a Clubhouse room, and this woman was saying she was hiring and she would look up everyone's on their Instagram and see what they post on their Instagram and see if they post about their project work and what's their aesthetic, what's the style, what can they really do? Or if they're posting about work, their personal life, like what are they about, what's their personality? And they kind of see that before they even would interview you for a job. So I think that's LinkedIn and your Instagram are very important for architects. And then if you really want to build up your online presence, I would recommend starting a website, either a portfolio website if you're looking for a job, or start kind of like a blogging type of website that you can create content and blog on it to build up your thought leadership. If you're trying to build your career as a professional, you want to share your opinions on things and show people that you are actually, that you actually know what you're talking about. Blogging is a great way to go about it. And then, of course, if you are starting a business, you will need a website no matter what. So you should just start a website if you are starting a business.
So you said we should start with social first and LinkedIn because it's the professional focused social media, and then Instagram because it's more visual and we can create, you know, a portfolio there. And it's very important that you curate that content, right? That it needs to share a story. It needs to be consistent. You can't one day share this beautiful image of a project and the next day, you know, share a terrible photo of something you ate that day. You're right. The feed matters. That what you're sharing on that social media matters.
It does. And I think it goes both ways. Sometimes people get too curated and then they are like, oh, I don't have anything to post because like I don't have a professional photo of something. And then they just don't post for like 2 months and then they disappear. I think that you can find a balance between showing professional photos of your buildings or your spaces and maybe some like construction process photos, your behind the scene photos, photos you just take with your iPhone in your office, sketches. Just, I think I see most of the time architects only would show their polished, like very shiny photo. And I always feel like it lacks that personal touch to it because I'm all about personal branding. Like you can show so much about your firm as a small business without showing horrible photos. And, you know, you can show photos of your team members working from home, yourself working from home. And it can just be an iPhone photo. It doesn't have to be like crazy as long as it's not like, you know, super dark and no one can see your face. I think adding those personal touches to your feed would really help people see your overall brand and really know who they're going to be working with if they want to hire you.
Right. So if the intent is to build a personal brand, it's important that you're showing your personality and parts of who you are, not just the results of the work that you do.
Right. And I was also, I was talking to a coaching client and she has a residential company in New York and she does these beautiful, beautiful homes for her clients. But I think this is something that architects often do is they post a beautiful picture and then in the caption, they would just say, I designed a fireplace for this client in, 123 Broadway in New York City. And that's it. That's all they would say. Or they always just say, oh, I designed this or this project is in New York. It's, 2,000 square feet. And they only give like kind of specific about the projects, but they don't tell a story or a personal story with the beautiful photo that you have. So I was telling her, like, if you have a beautiful photo of the fireplace, it was gorgeous. And what can you talk about a fireplace? Do you have a personal story about fireplace? Did you grow up with a fireplace drinking hot cocoa with your family? And this is like why you want to design a fireplace as warm and cozy. And or if you don't have any story, your personally, what about your clients? Why did they want a fireplace? Did they have do they have kids? Are they like looking for a space where they want a place where they can gather, they can have Christmas gift by fireplace. Just kind of telling those personal stories help your brand go beyond just a beautiful photo of your design work and tell people why you design certain things certain way based on your own personal experience or the client story can really make a difference, I think.
Very, very interesting. So what's your plan for the future? You're working with Monograph and creating content for Monograph, continuing to build your own personal brand at joannloy.com. What's your future looking like? Where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years?
I haven't really thought that far. when I took the job at Monograph, I have no idea what I'm going to do next, because I think as an architect, we have a linear path in your career. Like, you graduate school, you get your license, you work in a firm, you probably either start your own firm or you keep working in the firm forever. So when I took this job at Monograph, I didn't have it's the first time in my life I don't have a plan going forward, because I'm like, I don't know what this career path is going to take me. And that's kind of exciting and different. So I'm just kind of seeing where it goes through like my job at Monograph. And then for my plan for the Women Architects Collective, I'm going to continue the personal brand coaching. We are planning for more events and probably like a virtual conference, or hopefully in the future some in-person events for the community. I really want it to be more than just a Facebook group eventually. I'm going to build out more resources for them and host more events to help them meet other people. And just go from there and see where it goes.
All right. We'll have a link to the Women Architects Collective on the show notes. So if anybody's interested in joining, you can go to the show notes for this episode and just click the link. It'll take you right to that group, and then you can request membership. We'll also have a link to Joanne's website, and so you can go see how she's building out her personal brand. You can go say hi, say that you heard her on Entree Architect Podcast. Before we wrap things up here, Joanne, I'd love for you to share your thoughts on the one question that I ask everybody that comes over to the Entree Architect Podcast world over here. Entree Architect is a community of small firm architects, lots of them building businesses. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I would say show your face online, on social media.
That's great advice.
Just stop hiding behind your project photos and show more of your face and your personality to infuse that personal side into your brand.
That's great advice. That's an excellent answer to that question. I've gotten, I don't know, probably 500 answers to that question. It's such a simple answer, yet so powerful, because it really will make a difference. It really will change the way people see you and recognize you. Very, very great advice. Joanne Loy, it's L-U-I. The website is joannloy.com. We'll have a link to that on the show notes as well. Joanne, I really enjoyed this conversation, learning about you and the Women's Architect Collective, personal branding. I appreciate you for all you're doing in the profession. I see you out there. I see your personal brand. It's working. And I appreciate the knowledge that you're sharing out into the community of architects. And I appreciate you coming here and sharing your knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you for having me here. It was really fun.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a rating, write a review, and share a link to this episode with a friend. That's how Entree Architect Podcast will grow to serve thousands more architects just like you. Thanks to our sponsors, FreshBooks and RCAT, for their support of this episode. Links to our sponsors and all the resources we discussed today are available at the show notes for this episode, found at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. And check out Entree Architect Academy membership. Ready to edit business resources, live monthly business training for architects, a supportive architect community, and Simple Systems, our business system program developed for you, the small firm architect. It's all waiting for you at Entree Architect Academy membership, including AIA Continuing Education Learning Units. Come join me and hundreds of your entrepreneur architect friends at entrearchitect.com/join. Enroll today at entrearchitect.com/join. Thanks for listening today. Love, learn, and share what you know.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.